You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, I'm T2, and I support GenX Grown Up through Patreon because they're super gentle to my wires and boards. I think you should, too. Go to patreon.com/GenX Grown Up.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
GenX Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to episode 86 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I'm John. Joining me, as always, is Mo.
Hey, everybody.
And George is here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
In this episode, we'll review the latest installment of the Marvel superhero film franchise, check out some tech to make your computing life more productive, and play a mind-bending game where perception shapes your reality. First, though, there's a bit of probably George's favorite part of the show half the time, and today it's going to be his favorite part of the show, and that's some fourth listener email.
Uh-oh. Why is it going to be my favorite part?
Well, you'll see in about 5 seconds. Stand by. So the fourth listener this episode is Thomas, one of our longtime listeners and patrons. The subject line of his email was Challenger Documentary, and the email begins, George was right again.
Wow.
Now it all comes into focus, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, George, you were talking a few episodes ago about that great Challenger documentary and how, you know, kind of torn it made you feel about NASA, like the work they did and the bad decisions they made, many of those guys. And so, yeah, it's Thomas wrote in talking about that very same documentary. And he says, I, too, watched the Challenger documentary and came away with mixed feelings about NASA administrators. But in NASA's defense, I also believe the difficult part is knowing which warnings to listen to and which ones to ignore.
Sure.
We may never know all the complaints employees and subcontractors may have raised about such a complex machine. I'm sure there were many. This documentary spotlights the one complaint that happens to have correctly predicted the catastrophic failure.
Mm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. But like George, I couldn't believe those guys said on camera, given the same set of information, to make the same decision again today. That was a wow moment.
Yeah. That was the one.
It's jarring to go, really? I mean, everything you know.
He was just so unapologetic about the whole thing, about the casualty that transpired, about basically casually giving away those people's lives. I mean, it was horrific to see him say that.
It just seemed callous. It's like, yeah, tone deaf and callous and yeah, stunning. But a good documentary. I did go back and watch it after your recommendation too. And so Thomas wanted to write in about it and his salutation signed Tom the Space Geek. Once again, thank you, Tom, for writing in. We appreciate it every time the fourth listener writes in. If you'd like your email featured here on the show, it's easy. Just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And you see, even if you say that George was right, we still will read your email here. We won't filter them all out.
Qualified, as long as it didn't say that John was wrong, it was okay. Well, yeah, if it said George was right. Just as long as it didn't say John was wrong, I think was why the email got through.
We have standards. I mean, come on, there's certain criteria there must be.
We must maintain the illusion,
right? Yeah, I have to pretend that I know what's going on periodically.
We did land on the moon.
Thank you again, Tom. We appreciate you. So I know that George is energized now from that email. He's ready to get going. Mo, you ready to kick it off as well?
Yeah, even because of the email, still ready.
Despite that. Okay.
With Pillsbury sugar cookies, you can help kids create their own Christmas treats.
I made a little angel. Actually, my mommy helped. It was easy.
This Santa has a problem.
My Santa's cheeks got chubby in the oven.
You know how I made it? Frosting and gumdrops.
The wing broke off and I ate it.
Everyone loves Pillsbury cookies, fresh and hot.
Ho, ho! Eating's the best, no problem.
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky, mm-hmm. because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Getting started here at the top of the show with media. And you know what's exciting for me is we've mostly been talking about television series in recent episodes because
that's what's there.
Pandemic and everything.
Right.
Reasons. But a film showed up in the theaters that I was willing to. I went and saw Tenet back when it came out. I think we all did. And since then, I've not been back.
Yeah, me either.
I mean, it was weird and it's, you know, it's scary and it's not a good idea. But I finally got out to see Freaky, this new comedy horror from the producers of Happy Death Day. Have you seen even the trailers for this one or anybody get to see this yet?
No, I have not.
This is the one with Vince Vaughn, right?
It is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. So it's called Freaky. And the concept is it's like a cross between Freaky Friday and a horror movie. So first of all, I love Vince Vaughn and I've seen him in some stuff recently where he's kind of been phoning it in. And but this one, only Vince Vaughn could have done what he did here. Effectively, he's a serial killer. And you see him at the beginning of this film and he's stalking co-eds and he attempts to kill this girl with a cursed dagger. And
okay.
The curse it has is it swaps their bodies.
Of course, that happens all the time.
Yeah. Right. That old trope.
Oh, that old chestnut.
Yeah, that old thing again. The old cursed dagger switchy personality trick.
So throughout the film, what you have is you have this, the co-ed, the girl, is now the serial killer. So she's around stalking people, but she's in the body of this girl. So it's like this wonderful Trojan horse. She walks through the hallways of school stalking people and nobody knows better. But the better part of this is Vince Vaughn playing the
co-ed,
the awkward teenager. You know, she's self-conscious. Oh, come on, guys, you know, that kind of thing. And he just nails it.
Really? Okay.
He really does. Now, I saw it in the theater, just like when we saw Tenet. I think there were maybe in this auditorium there were 8 people in the whole theater occupying it, so it felt nice and social distanced and safe. And I think what got me in there was partially how much I enjoyed the Happy Death Day franchise and knowing it's kind of more of that, but the other part was that I had read more and more that Vince Vaughn did a great job in this film. And I'm like, well, I'm ready. I mean, I love him in Dodgeball.
Oh, sure.
A lot of things he does, I love.
He has done something. It's been a while since I've heard his name mentioned positively.
Especially anything that says he did a good job. And
yeah,
he really did a good job in this. I mean, you get all of the cool, awkward things you'd expect from a Freaky Friday thing. Because he's in this strong, powerful man's body, or she is, whatever, you know, she's more empowered. She doesn't feel so timid. You know, she can defend herself, which is really neat. But also, she gets the courage to talk to her crush. And of course, they, you know, there's an opportunity where they decide to kiss while she's still in this guy's body. And they're like, you know what? Let's put a pin in that and wait till later. So,
oh, he believes her. Okay.
Yeah. It is really cute. And it's actually, if you find a theater where it's safe to go out, it's fun to see in the theater. It reminded me of what's so cool about seeing things in the theater, the limited distractions, you know, the big screen, the smell of the popcorn, the sticky floors, everything about that experience.
Wait a minute. I was with you until the sticky floor part.
I'm not saying I love it. I'm saying it's part of the experience.
Okay.
You know?
I'm with you.
But it's cool to see in the theater. It makes me remember what I miss about going out. I still, you know, I know the pandemic is, you know, spiking again, and you know, you got to make those decisions. You got to measure your risk factors here and there. So I made a measured decision, and I'm glad I went to see that. You know, if you even if you don't go out to the theater, I think it's one that definitely when it hits home video or, you know, streaming services, Freaky is a great one to see. I think I would probably rate it almost 4, 3 3/4 tokens or so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, there was some questionable stuff. There's some tropes, but you know, you got to expect that from a comedy horror, don't you?
Yeah, I mean,
I think so.
I don't really have much choice to wait because AMC has that stupid, silly rule that if you want to postpone your A-list service, you can't just postpone it. You have to cancel it, and you're not allowed to sign back up for 6 months. And I'm not going to the theater at regular prices anymore after being on the A-list. So
I can't imagine. No, I love the A-list, and we've been been staunch proponents of it for a while. But I can't imagine any time in the near future when I would see 3 movies a week anymore. I mean, first of all, there's not 3 movies coming out. Secondly, are the movies I want to see, and am I willing to go out and risk it, right?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I want to support going to theaters because I want them to be there when I come back. When all this is over, I want to go back to the theaters again to see films, but
of course,
you've already offered me something that made me go see more movies. You got your money out of it, and I was buying popcorn and drinks and everything like that. But to have such a ham-fisted rule in place, it just, I don't know that I'll, I may not sign back up for A-list once the pandemic is over.
Yeah. I know that 6 months. I understand why it existed before the pandemic, because they didn't want people to just sign up for it for a month and then cancel and wait till good movies came out and do it again, because that blows the model. But I think they might want to think about changing those in this kind of post-pandemic, maybe for the upcoming year or two, kind of relax that a bit, because they're going to want people to come swarming back. And that kind of sweeping restriction, the ham-fisted restriction, as you put it appropriately, is, I think it's kind of it's a catch-all that doesn't apply anymore. I think they might want to relax that. But
if I was a betting person, I'd say that they are going to probably revamp that strategy. You know,
they're going to do whatever it takes to get people back on board.
Right. It's not in their best interest to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they don't have a lot of time if these vaccines pan out, but
God, let's hope.
Which
let's
good.
Hope.
Right. Yeah, really.
I'm first one standing in line. Yep. Mo, how about you? I know that I got out to the theater. Did you get a chance to see anything in the theater or otherwise
not
you want to
chat
about?
So this is one of the few movies that actually was in the theaters during the pandemic. It's The New Mutants.
Ah,
oh, okay. I did not see it in the theater, but it just recently dropped the video, so you could see it like a pay-per-view.
Got it.
And so I watched it finally, and it was one I was actually kind of looking forward to, because I was looking for something a little different, I guess, from, you know, it seemed a little different than the other kind of superhero movies that we've been seeing from the MCU and all that stuff.
Wasn't it kind of like promoted as pseudo horror?
Yeah, it was kind of a little darker, a little psychological.
Was it? Okay.
Crazy stuff. And let me tell you, it left me feeling a little flat, actually.
Oh, you didn't like it that much, huh?
No, it didn't. I mean, I'm all for, like, you know, the superheroes, but let's get a good story going and all, you know, because you have to have a good story, right? You have to have good characters and all that stuff.
So what's the basic premise? I'm not a huge New Mutants fan or whatever, so what's the idea?
So in the comic books, the New Mutants were like the next generation of X-Men, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were the younger group, because at this point, the X-Men were in their 20s. So now these were like teenagers and kids that Professor X got together and was trying to form like the next team, essentially.
No, it's X-Men, the next generation.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. So this one, though, they kind of took a different tact on, where instead that these were all younger mutants kind of brought together more as to get them to control their powers so they could be basically kind of like used, I guess, you know, not for good purposes necessarily.
It's not the Professor X school of special people. It's not that group. It's a more sinister group, because I saw this in the theater, John, you were talking about.
Oh, did you?
The theater.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, they're definitely, it's more governmental conspiracy theory kind of stuff mixed in with these people trying to recognize their horrible powers as they manifest through adolescence.
Hmm. At the surface, it sounds like that would be a cool addition to that story.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it was. And there were parts of it that were very good. I mean, like the actors I thought they picked were really great, I think, for all the roles.
Mm-hmm.
They did some really great jobs with some of the storyline. But then it just seemed like it got too, it almost like, for me, it went a little too far away from the superhero thing, because, you know, you want to see people using their cool powers, right? And really, you don't really see a whole lot of it until like the very end.
This sounds like the X-Files syndrome. You know, it's like, I want to see aliens and creepy stuff, and instead I got, you know, often 30 minutes of government intrigue and 2 minutes of aliens at the end sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of like that. And I'm also saying, okay, you got to have relationships and all that. But one is, I don't understand why every movie has to have a romantic relationship in it anymore. Why can't a group of people get together and just be a group of people? You know, instead they had to throw relationships in there, like, oh my God, you're the person. I'm like, why? That did nothing to help promote the story as far as I was
concerned. Like, they just felt shoehorned in, like some executive said, where's the love interest? And they had
to
make
it
happen.
Have a love interest in this. Mm. But now the saving side of it is that the, again, the actress, like the one who played Magic, she was great. She's also in that thing on Netflix about the woman who plays chess.
Yeah, Queen's Gambit.
Queen's Gambit. Yeah, she's the star of that as well. The same person.
Oh, same actress. Okay. Same actress. Yeah, I've seen that.
And so she was outstanding. And they also did a couple things. And this is just me being an old comic book nerd, right, from back in the day, that they changed some things that just bugged me as a comic book person. I don't know, George,
like,
if you've
powers
the same.
Or history?
Yeah,
or
like powers. Like there was one kid who was called Sunspot, right? That was his name. And the thing is that he basically, and this is going to sound corny, but he absorbs light and that gives him strength, right? That's essentially what it comes down to.
Okay.
In the comic book, when he like was like full power, basically he absorbed all the light, so nothing reflected up. So he was like this black silhouette.
Okay.
Which I said, that's going to look so cool in the theater. You know, that's all I kept thinking. And they didn't do it. And they didn't do it. You know, and I was like, oh man. I was like, that could have been such a cool
effect. What about the superhero part of the superhero movie? Come on.
Yeah. It's like, that would have been so cool. Okay. I mean, granted, they gave him the strength and all that stuff, but they really didn't talk about it that much. And then the kid who played like Cannonball, which is another one that he basically just could, at the time, he could go in a straight line really well, like rocketing.
Yeah.
And while he's in that form, he's supposed to be like invulnerable and all that stuff. But him, his character, I thought they didn't do enough with, really. Like, didn't really talk about it much. I don't know. It just seemed like it was like, instead of like, you know, in a turned up to 11, you know, everything seemed like it was turned to like 6 or 7.
Oh.
And it needed to get that extra couple levels in there, I think, to make it good. I mean, that's just my opinion of it. I know, George, it seemed like you probably liked it, or sounds like you may have liked it more.
I did like it a little bit more than sounds like what you did, but I wasn't a New Mutants fan either during comic book era. I mean, I had a couple issues, first issue, 2 or 3.
Oh, sure.
But I never really got that into that series. So I don't think I had a lot of the preconceived notions that you did going into the film. Mm-hmm. I was kind of just watching the film for itself. And
oh, sure.
I got a slight different take on it. To me, John, you might appreciate this analogy a little bit. It felt a little bit more like Brightburn.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in Brightburn, how there's weird stuff happening around the kid and you know the kid's special, but you're not really sure where it's going to go. And then it has that twist at the end where he's, he goes evil Superman and whatnot.
Right.
This kind of has a little bit of that feel.
Yeah,
and that
I can see that.
Some of the main characters, you're not really sure where they're going to go and who's going to do what. And then there's some twists at the end that kind of throw you off a little bit. But if you're ingrained in the original story, you're going to hate this movie because it doesn't hold true to the original New Mutants story. And I totally get that because there have been a lot of superhero films that made me feel the same way. This one, it's one of those, if you weren't a New Mutants fan before the film, you might enjoy the film. If you were, like Mo is, I completely understand why you would not enjoy this film as much.
Huh. Yeah, so, you know, I didn't even care about this movie until we got to this part of this discussion. I'm like, maybe, and the reason I wasn't interested is because, oh, I'm not a fan of that. And not that I'm disrespecting someone who is, I'm just not interested. But now the fact that I'm not a fan of it might actually make it more a film for me, is what I'm hearing.
It could be for sure. Because like another thing I can tell you that having been a fan of the original comic books when they came out is I knew exactly what was going on right from the start.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Because I knew like, oh, that's because of blah, blah, blah. I knew because I read the comic books and I was a fan. Whereas if not knowing that may have made it more interesting.
Huh. Okay. That's a thinker. Interesting. Okay. So Mo, knowing what you know and all that taken into account, would you give it a rating? What do you think on our token scale?
Oh, sure. I mean, I would probably give it 2.5 tokens, 2 tokens. Like I said, there was some really great acting in it.
Yeah. Overall kind of weak though.
Yeah. And when they did actually do like the whole big fight scene and stuff, it was extremely cool. You know, it was very, very cool.
When they finally got around to it.
Right. When they finally got around
to
it.
Taste.
Yeah. For me personally, I think they could, or maybe the story could be, I don't know. It just seemed like it was just dialed down just a little bit too much in places that they needed to dial it up a little bit.
Too much in some places, too little of what you're really looking for. So, okay. Got it. The New Mutants. Cool. All right. Well, something new in the theater and something from the theater. Come home. We get back from the break. We're going to dig into our tech and toys. Stick around.
Merry Christmas, Merry, Merry Christmas from your Kmart Christmas store. Save on sweaters and on hats, bowling balls and baseball bats.
Cameras, TVs, bikes and planes, goldfish, bath toys, slippers, pants.
Mirrors, dresses, perfume, socks, toasters, roasters, robes and clocks. Candy, records, films and toys at Santa Land for girls and boys. Christmas smiles light every place at Kmart's Christmas saving place.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, with the holiday season coming up, I guess this would be a really good time to have a Tekken toy, which I don't have.
way to bury the lead there.
Yeah, I know. It's like,
thanks for listening, everyone.
I know. I was trying to figure out like something to throw in this section because it's been busy and I've been doing a lot of tech thinking because of our last podcast and because of stuff I'm like trying to get kids and stuff for Christmas, but I didn't actually get anything.
Well, you know, you're not alone because I've mentioned previously on the show when it comes around the holiday times. So we just had the gift guide backtrack a couple weeks ago, right? Where we talked about that often, you know, your significant other or your friends or family don't know what to get you because you're like, oh, a toy, and you go get it, you buy it, which I think we all do more often than not. It's like, oh, it's shiny and I want it. And in my family, we have a moratorium. Once you hit about mid to late November, you're not allowed to buy things for yourself. You can tell me what you want. You can put it on a wish list. So I have tech toys. Well, I have tech and toys on a wish list that I'm eager to get. And then I have the thing after Christmas where if you don't get it, you just go buy it yourself and buy yourself a gift.
It's like potential tech toys.
Yeah. I'm going to have some tech toys coming up.
So are you two lazy asses telling me that I've got to carry the tech and toy segment for the next 2 months?
That's not what I'm telling you, but that might be what happens.
The next month, let's say. How about that?
Probably till after Christmas.
Yeah,
at least.
After Christmas.
Oh, Lord.
So what do you got for us, George?
George, what do you got?
Better be good. Hope is awesome, man. I'm excited. What do you got?
If I had known that there was going to be this much pressure on my one item, I believe I'd have chosen something different. However... So I do have something that was cool to me and something that's helpful for me. I don't know if it'll be helpful to anybody else, but during the pandemic and working from home, one of the difficulties that I faced was using a computer to remote into my office.
In what way? What do you mean difficult?
Well, we have to do VPNs, and oftentimes I use a VPN here at the house on my main PC to... because I don't want people spying on what I do and everything. But that VPN turned on at the same time my work VPN is turned on is a pain in the rear end. So I'm like, okay, that's I'm not doing that. I've got plenty of computers laying around. Let me get one set up that's just dedicated for work and has my work's VPN software installed on it. Okay, so I did that. However, I don't have this ginormous evil guy from Austin Powers type of desk setup where I've got tons of room and everything. It's, you know, small little office with a little L-shaped desk.
But if you did, that would be cool.
That would be cool, right?
That would be cool.
That would be an awesome tech and toy segment. So I don't have a lot of space and I've got a dual monitor set up for my main PC. And I'm like, okay, there has to be a KVM out there. For those who don't know, KVM, keyboard video monitor, is a device that allows you to connect multiple PCs to one set of peripherals and you can click a button to switch between them. We use them at work all the time in the racks. Mm-hmm. We have, you know, a KVM that slides out of the rack and it's connected to every server in that rack and so on and so forth. But finding one for home that also supports dual HDMI monitors.
Oh, that's okay. I was about to say that sounds easy until I forgot you had dual monitors. Yeah,
that's a curveball there.
Oh, now, there's KVMs over IP, and I haven't investigated those because I just wanted something that was simple and easy to deal with. I actually found one, which was nice. It's the CKL HDMI KVM Switch 2-port dual monitor extended display device.
A dual monitor KVM.
Yeah. It's not cheap if it's something that you're buying for working from home only. I'm using it for multiple things now, but it's $114 currently.
That is a little pricey.
Yeah.
You've got to make a decision that you really need it or want it.
Right.
Setup was easy. It comes with a set of cables that allow you to connect one end into the device, and the other end has USB and the micro audio little 3.5 millimeter connections because you can connect your microphone and your headsets into this thing. It also has USB hubs built into it. And the button click is nice. It's just one click to switch between the two different devices. And it even has like this little wired remote. So if you have to put the KVM somewhere else on your desk because it needs to be closer to the PCs,
like out of sight or behind something. Yeah.
You can run this little wired remote button, which I do right in front of your keyboard and click, click, and you're moving over. And so far, so good. Now, I don't know if it's going to last because some of the reviews talk about this device working well for 2 or 3 months and then quitting.
Oh, no.
Oh, really? Yes.
But there just are not a lot of choices out there for something this price point or lower for what I wanted to do. But so far, it's working out.
Yeah, I did a quick scan just from after you sent the link over, and like I can't see anything even close to that price range that does dual monitor. You know, you're talking $200 to find something similar.
Exactly. That's what I was finding. And not just on Amazon, but even just Google itself, you know, searching through different websites. All these KVMs, and maybe they jacked up their prices for the pandemic. I never looked at them before, but
I could see that.
Well, you know, even pre-pandemic, my wife works from home, and she has a work computer that they sent her that they have to use. And then she has her personal computer, and she always had a KVM. And it's funny that you went shopping for one probably in the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. I had to replace her KVM because it was giving her fits. And I also noticed that even a decent one, it's not cheap. But the one, she didn't have HDMI, which I think that jacks the price up because you have licensing for HDMI, and this is a multi-monitor thing. But the question I want to ask you about it is, the complaint I have about many KVMs, even the one that I just replaced for my wife, is acquisition time. Like when you do a switch, sometimes you'll hit the button or you'll do the keystroke or whatever, and it goes black and you go get a cup of coffee. Like it takes several seconds.
Really? Wow.
What's your experience with this one with when you switch over, how long it takes for you actually have control? Is there much time that it takes, or how's the response time?
Under 2 seconds.
Oh, really? That's actually very good. Okay.
Yeah, under 2 seconds. And I think the only caveat to that I'll add is that my particular laptop, because it's one of those that can fold back on itself and turn itself into a tablet, sometimes when I do the switch over, there's some weird artifacting with the mouse. Like it'll think that the mouse is touching the touch screen because it'll try to go into tablet mode. But that's my tablet. That's not the device, the CKL KVM.
Not the switch itself.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, something else looking at the Amazon listing here that I think probably shouldn't be overlooked is it comes with a boatload of cables that often you buy extra that cost $5 or $6 or $10 per cable. Yeah. But it looks like this comes with a mountain of everything you need to actually get the connections up and working.
Yeah, I mean, it comes with 4 cables, the 2 straight up HDMI cables, just 1 HDMI to another, and then that HDMI with a breakout cable on the other end that has the HDMI, the USB, and mouse, that stuff.
Okay. So far, so good on the CKL brand KVM.
Fingers crossed.
So, Mo, I don't think he did too bad. I think it's a pretty good tech toy considering we made him carry the whole segment.
I mean, we were interested, if nothing else. I don't know if our listeners would
fourth listener, it's time to wake up because we're almost done with the tech segment. Otherwise, we were very entertained. Teasing, obvious.
Wake up, toys, or you're going to miss Christmas Eve with the Kodak Disc. Someone got the family a Kodak disc. Just look at all the shots they're not gonna miss. There's never been a time that's better than this to give someone the Kodak disc.
Give someone the Kodak disc camera this Christmas, and if they don't think it's the easiest camera they've ever used, Kodak will give you your money back, money back.
So when you go out and shop, just remember to stop.
Shh, give someone the Kodak disc.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for the Generation X game segment.
Segment. Back up.
I needed an extra day. I asked the gentleman to please move this podcast recording one more day past because on the Friday of this week, my son was playing in his football game and I was screaming my bloody head off and had no voice whatsoever all day Saturday. So I appreciate that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gotten that wonderful intro to the game segment. No, hell no.
Well, when you messaged me, you said it was like it was tied 14-14 or something. You were screaming your head off, right?
It was 14-14 at the half. We received the kickoff in the third quarter and ran that back for a touchdown. And that was the last point we scored. And they decided,
things were looking good at that point.
Yeah. The other team decided, you know what? We're going to just go ahead and win this game now, so y'all sit back.
We're done playing around. Oh, it's too bad.
They put in three guys in the backfield for anybody who knows football. Three guys in high school, each one of them, 6'3", 220. So a quarterback beasts and two running backs. And they just ran over our normal average-sized children that were playing in this football game.
Like, you sure they were high school students?
I would not have been surprised to see after the end of the game, these three men have like a wife and kid run out onto the field and celebrate with them.
Celebratory cigars. Yeah, it's great.
Celebratory beer terrible afterwards.
All right, yeah.
Oh, Lord. So, no, they did not win, but they gave a valiant effort. It ended up being 35-20, which is a, you know, they only let that team score two touchdowns above them.
That's not a crush. Yeah, that's okay.
They held their own. They held their own.
Well, good. We gave your voice a chance to recover after all your cheering. Yes. So that's good.
Or yelling.
Now, I know that we've got several games in this segment. It's not like the last two segments where it's just one or two of us talking. I'll start with Mo. Mo, what have you been playing lately?
Okay, so remember that thing we said about not buying ourselves anything for Christmas time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, John totally made me blow that.
Okay.
And I'm totally blaming him completely because we were having lunch the other day and he comes over and says, oh, he says, I saw this at the store and I almost sent you a picture and I didn't. And then he pulls it up and it was a board game called, get this, Godzilla Tokyo Clash.
Oh, right. Okay. So you ended up purchasing this.
Oh, after lunch, I went to the store and bought it.
So you're such a sucker. Literally, I saw was, oh, it's a Godzilla something. I saw at Target and I mentioned it to him and he's like, where's my damn keys? He's ready to go.
Lunch is over. I'm out of here. No. Well, first off, I mean, so I went and picked up. I haven't played it yet. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to do a video on it just from what I've seen when I opened the box because it looks freaking cool.
And it's made by Funko, right? And it has little figures of Mothra and stuff.
But basically, the premise of the game is you get to play as like one of four monsters, kaiju, and of course you can be Godzilla. They picked a good four, I think. And you get to destroy Tokyo, and whoever destroys the most wins.
Well, there you go.
And the thing is that it's cool is that there's not like a dice roll luck game. It's more of a card game kind of strategy. It looked very cool. They give you actual miniatures of the monsters to play with, so it's not like tokens. They're actually a little Godzilla, and they're actually pretty good size too. They're about 2 inches high. And it just looks like it's going to be a blast. So I already have a thing. I told my daughter that we have to play it like immediately. So I'm really looking forward to it. And it just and plus the box design of it is just beautiful.
The important question is King Kong in this game?
No, this is kaiju. This is Tokyo Godzilla.
Sorry. No.
King Kong never invades. King Kong stays on the American side
freaking
of things.
Monster snobs here. Both of you. Monster snobs.
King Kong has never. I don't think he doesn't invade Tokyo. Well, he actually has once, but still, that's not his thing.
Thank you. See there?
I mean, we have all played the game Rampage. Really? Can we not accept gorillas and dragons living next to each other with wolfmen in the background? Come on.
That's true. I guess they can, but it's more of a game I'm just super excited to play with just from growing up with all the monster movies and watching those endlessly. This looks like it's going to be right up my alley, so I am completely on board with this game, whether it sucks or not.
Sorry, not sorry. There you go.
Oh, no. This is when I'm like, yeah, I'm getting this. So that's what I got going on. So, John, how about you?
I have a really cool video game that I've already finished, but I got to talk about it. So there's this indie game from a developer named Pillow Castle. I had never heard of.
Never did.
My video game playing daughter walked up to me the other day and said, there's this game I want you to play. I don't want you to know anything about it. I just want you to download it and start playing it. You have my attention. I'm interested now.
Yeah.
The game is called Superliminal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like subliminal, but super, not so.
It was apparently so good, you got me and George a copy.
I did what my daughter said. I played it sight unseen, and I enjoyed it so much that I turned around and bought Mo and George a copy and said, play this sight unseen. Now, I don't know if you both have yet. I'll ask you in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Have you? Okay. So how do I explain the concept of this game? It's a puzzle game. Now, I think my daughter described it best to me when the only thing she would tell me is she said it's kind of a cross between Portal and the Stanley Parable. And I'm like, well, there's a 1-2 punch right there. Right, if in fact it's even close to either of those. The concept here is that you're visiting this place that is doing sleep studies and you fall asleep at some point during some testing. And the entire game is played like in this dream state with them trying to get you out of it. So anything can happen. And perception is reality. There's a physics model in it that is I've never seen before. Mm. I mean, think about when you pick something up in reality and you know, I'm squishing your head, right? You can make it look like your hand is enormous compared to the guy whose head you're squishing. Or you hold up something, hold up a toy car and it looks like it's on the road. You can do that in this game. If you pick up a prop that's small and you put it in perspective very large and let go, it's now there and it's huge or it's small. And you use that to build puzzle solving elements and steps and ladders to go up and down and how to get through doors and move things between places. And it was a mind blower for me. I really, really enjoyed it. Not a perfect game, but very, very just the mechanics. So now I'm going to ask, I sent it to you guys. And so you had a chance to play it a little bit. I want to know what your impressions are compared to mine. Was I just blown away because it was something like those old other games, or what did you think of it?
Well, I'll go first. Let me tell you, it was original, which I liked. It was cool. And it had some problems, but I had enough fun where the problems I was okay with. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was able to overlook some of the issues with the game because I was just so blown away with the creativity behind it and the fun. Like, I mean, you talk about how messing with perspective is.
Right. Yeah.
I remember this is one scene where, because there's a lot of chess pieces in this thing for some reason.
Yeah.
And there was a pawn. And I was like, oh, because normally you could pick those up and drop them. And I'm clicking on this damn thing and I can't pick it up. And I'm like, why can't I pick this thing up? And I said, is there a bug with the game?
Because it's painted on the floor.
Because it was painted on the damn floor. Like, and you only see it. It only looks real from that one spot. As soon as you move a little to the side, you see that it's painted on the floor and on the wall so that if you're in that one spot, it looks like a real 3D thing. But as soon as you move, you see it's not. As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, you bastards. I was like, that is, I can't tell you. I was like clicking like, what the hell? And I'm sure that's what they were thinking when they put it there.
They continually subvert your expectations on every subsequent level, don't they? Just keep kind of changing what you think. George, what did you think so far? Where have you gotten into it much?
I have. I've played it quite a bit this past week. I didn't start playing it right away when you first gave it to us because I was playing other stuff at the time. I will say, to me, this is definitely a cross between Portal and more The Cube, that game I reviewed a few episodes ago.
Cube, right.
Okay. I see that too. Yeah.
So a little bit more of those two combined with Force Perspective as the main game element.
Right.
And I liked it. It's fun. It's unusual because of that element. I don't think I'm a big fan of the fact that they kind of went back to the Portal Cube Stanley Parable well. I would have rather seen this in something else, but I really enjoyed the Force Perspective being the main game element.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would have enjoyed it in more, but because it felt so much like those games that I've already played quite a bit, it was like, okay, a lot of it's just more of the same. It's all puzzle solving, which is good. They do a couple of neat things, and there's places where you actually step outside the set, so to speak.
Right.
Of the game. And there are little tasks that you have to do where you take an object and you move it from one room, from one part of the room to the other. And because it gets bigger in your view, it grows the object so that you can then use the object to advance to the next level. That stuff was all really fun. I think I would have enjoyed it more if it wasn't set in such a familiar setting.
You know, you're right. You know, I said it's inspired by those. I think in some cases it borrowed really heavily.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a female voice that sounds so like the Portal GLaDOS voice.
Exactly.
Maybe it didn't have to be quite the exact same snarky as that other character. You're right. It liberally borrowed from those with a brand new kind of mechanic on top of it. That's fair. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I want to support independent game developers. And he obviously had a thing where he said, okay, I love Portal and I love these other types of games like this.
We're doing this.
I want to do this with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, I don't know.
No, George, I totally get it. Because remember, I said that there were some parts I didn't like so much about the game. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of them, is that it didn't feel like a brand new game, right?
It did not. Yeah. It felt like Portal 3 to me.
Yeah. It felt like something I played before with some new mechanics thrown in there. And I kind of see what
you mean.
You
could believe this was going to be Portal 3 and then somebody lost the rights to something. Like, almost. You're right. You could believe that.
Maybe this guy worked on the Portal team for a number of years and then struck out on his own or something. That's the feeling I got from it. But it's a solid game. It's purchase. John, how much is it right now on Steam?
I think it's like $20, $15-$20, something like that. And I will say it's painfully short. I was able to finish the entire game in under 4 hours. But also, what's really interesting to me, being that I'm a fan of independent game development, is that once you finish it, you can go back and play the entire game with audio commentary and hear the different artists talk about how they made decisions for puzzles and music.
No, that's
and
very
lighting
cool. I
like and things
that
like
stuff.
That.
Yeah,
that's so that's cool. I've already started my second playthrough doing all that audio commentary. So, you know, there's the game element of it and there's the game design element of it that I'm getting even after the fact. So I think once this hits $10, like, just buy it. I mean, it's still $20.
Game,
that's a bit much for its length. The quality is there. It's pretty well polished. Definitely derivative. Definitely borrows heavily from some of those other ones we mentioned. But I think I would give it, man, I really liked it. I would probably give it like 4 tokens out of 5. I really, really liked it, despite the derivative nature.
Yeah, it was good.
Okay. So that's what I've definitely been playing. We got Moe's Godzilla out of the way. George, though, it is time to catch up with your your A to Z Humble Bundle games.
Yeah.
Where are we at?
Well, we're up to the letter T now, so we're definitely in the home stretch. Mm-hmm. Just got a few more letters left to go. I think 6, right? I haven't done alphabet since the third grade, so I don't remember. But yeah.
Yeah, well, this is done. I mean, this has been your life for 40 weeks now.
We have a different perspective. This has not been a life. This has just been a way for me to make sure I contribute something to the segment I announce.
Well, and you found so many good games along the way, too. So that's been a nice side effect.
And I could go back through another 26 games and probably another 26 after that because I have way too many games from these bundles. In this case, the letter T is populated with a game that's definitely going to be familiar to a lot of our listeners out there. I'm sure it's not an unknown hidden gem. It's a game called This War of Mine.
Oh, that's such a good game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope you think it's a good game.
I think.
So it's a really fun, story-driven scavenger survival game is the way I'm going to describe it. I'll give the description from Steam in a second.
That's a pretty good description.
Yeah,
but I want to mention that I got this one in the Humble Fight for Racial Justice bundle. So earlier in the year when they were having all of the, you know, the George Floyd and all of that type of thing that was going on, Humble Bundle got together a lot of big name game publishers and they put out this whole giant bundle that had 92 items in it.
Yeah, it was massive.
Was it that many? Wow.
Yeah. Good. I mean, not all of them were games. There were a lot of like audio soundtracks to games and different things like that. Mm-hmm. But man, this bundle was just huge. I paid the full price of $30 for it at the time. And there have been so many things that I wanted to play in it. This is the only game so far that I actually have played from that bundle since then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a lot in there. There's a lot in there.
There is. And I'm happy that this was the game that I chose. I'll give you the description from Steam now. It says, in This War of Mine, you do not play as an elite soldier, rather a group of civilians trying to survive in a besieged city, struggling with lack of food, medicine, and constant danger from snipers and hostile scavengers. The game provides an experience of war seen from an entirely new angle. And that's an apt description because if you think about war games, you're going to think of your Call of Duties and those first-person shooter kind of, you know, running through the things. And
right. I'm a big Dwayne Johnson Marine with a rifle. And
and BFG. I'm just not a big fan of those games. I don't know. Those games just don't grab me. It's not that they're not good. Obviously, they made billions of dollars, so a lot of people like them. But this game being so... And it's not story driven. I was about to say being so story driven. It's not that it's story driven. It kind of is, but it's more, how do I say it? It's more environmental, like narrative driven.
Yeah, that's a good way of doing it.
Mm-hmm. You're almost creating your own story as you decide how to survive, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just point and click. It's not, you don't have to have any large amounts of dexterity or hand-eye coordination or anything like that. It's just point and click, really. And I really enjoy this game. I've been playing it quite a bit in preparation for this episode, but generally I'll find that when I'm preparing for an episode with one of these games, I'll play it for an hour or two, come up with a rating, and then move on to something mm-hmm. else. This mm-hmm. is one of those rare instances throughout this list of about maybe 3 to 5 games that I'll continue to play this after the fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. This I've played this game before. It's been out for quite a while now, actually, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing that gets you, it's not so much focused on like this big picture thing. It, to me, it's like a very small, like it's focused on a very small thing, like this one it civilian is, yeah,
very small.
Surviving in this war-torn city, basically, right?
And you make decisions that are, you decide, well, let's, you know, sacrifice this person right. or resource, or, you know, cut my losses here, or how can I defend against this, right?
It's a fun game, no yeah. question.
You know, it definitely sets a mood, too, when you play it. Like, you know,
atmospheric. It pulls that's the word in. I'm looking
yeah, that's
for.
That's a good word. That's a perfect yeah. word for it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And, you know, I made a mistake. I thought this was the only one I'd play for this game. I actually got NBA 2K20 in the same bundle as I was looking okay. back through yeah. my oh. list. So I definitely got more than one game out of that bundle. But I don't know. For me, as much as I enjoyed NBA 2K20, this was, I think, quite a bit better.
Those are two very different things, though. You have a great sports game, but then you have this kind of storytelling, adventure-y kind of thing. So I think, I mean, it's a fine comparison, but you had two quality games that you got a lot out of in this mm-hmm. one bundle, though. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a fun game. I recommend it if you haven't already picked it up. It's $20 right now on Steam. I don't know how long it's supposed to last. I'm in like day 9 of my current survival game. I don't know how many days it goes, but I totally expect to get 20 hours out of this game without a problem. Nice. So I'll get my quarries. Without,
all right.
Yeah, without
but
too much.
You didn't have to spend $20, did you?
I did not.
So where are we at on this game, and get us an update on your spreadsheet?
So, I mean, if you look at it, this humble fight for racial justice bundle, the max amount of money that you could spend on it at the time was $30. And that's what I did. Yep. Just between these two games, NBA 2K20 and this game, that's $80 worth of retail price just mm-hmm. in these two games. So I only spent $30 on the bundle, even if you don't do the division and the math on how many items were in the bundle. But I went ahead and did that anyway, of course, because I love spreadsheets. And out of the 92 items that are in this, that drops the price down per item to 33 cents, which is what I paid for this game. So right. I saved $19.66. It's just incredible that they offer these quality games through this service for such a reasonable price, even if you don't think about the dividing it by however many items in the bundle. Just, it's a $20 game. I paid $30, but I also then got a $60 game.
Yeah. And this.
And this.
Yeah. For years to come, you'll unlock and play and exactly. be gifting yourself. Yeah. So what have you spent so far? Where are you up to? Let's get a tally.
Oh, okay. So, so far I've spent a total of $175 on the Humble Bundles themselves. And that's if you mm-hmm. include me buying this bundle twice, as I said, right? Because I just did simple sum total.
Yep.
I would have, if I bought the games at retail current prices, spent $312.80. However, doing the math on the per game subtotal, which is $8.11
for all these games up
for all these games, I have saved $304.69 on that.
Holy crap. It just keeps getting cooler to hear, you know, all these great games. Yeah. You're like, it's like going out to lunch. It's a few bucks. Okay. So you have this backlog of games. We're caught up in the letter T, but we've been often something from your back catalog we're giving away. Do you have something to give away for this episode?
We do. We actually have this game to give away.
This War of Mine.
Yeah.
Really?
We have this War of Mine to give away. So.
Wow.
Yeah. It's awesome. I think this is one of those rare instances where we have the same Steam key for the game that we're reviewing, which I think
that's
is
a great,
great
get.
And it is. It's $20. All you have to do is send an email to get a game that's worth $20. I'm sure it won all kinds of awards, games of the years and whatnot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, it came out in 2014, but it's still an awesome game.
So what about a subject line? So they email us at podcast@genxgrownup.com, but we need a special subject line for this War of Mine. What do you think?
I would just say this War of Mine. That's pretty straightforward.
Well, that's not very inspired, but it's appropriate, I guess.
I'm a simple person, so.
Simple tastes, simple codes. Okay. All right. So if you're the first one to hit our inbox at podcast@genxgrownup.com with "This War of Mine" in the subject line, George will award you a free copy of the game. Nice.
Absolutely.
Totally worth it. So I would say jump on this one.
It is worth it. It definitely is. We'll be back right after this break.
Taste all the ways. Butter helps your holidays. That time of year is here.
Holiday baking deserves real butter. Make a cinnamon roll tree, sugar cookies, marzipan, and more. Bake ahead. Real butter's baked-in flavor improves with age.
Taste all the ways. Butter helps you say happy holidays throughout the year.
Greetings from Evergreen Podcasts. We're rolling out a listener survey, and we want to hear from you. The information in the survey will help us gather statistics and in turn make our shows more appealing to advertisers. I know most people don't like ads, but this is one of the only ways our shows make money and help keep their lights on. We promise it will only take a few minutes, but the impact on our podcasts will be tremendous. As a token of our appreciation, we'll randomly select one lucky participant each month to win an exclusive merchandise package from Evergreen Podcasts. Head to evergreenpodcast.com/listener survey to help a show and possibly get some free stuff for doing so. We can't thank you enough for the support. Now back to the show.
Before we wind it up, we always like to take just a few minutes here toward the end of the show to talk about what we're looking forward to, what new, you know, films or books or comics or games or whatever we're going to be enjoying between now and the next time we get together. And Mo, let's start with you. What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I've been looking forward to this one for a while. It's the next season of The Expanse.
Oh, the sci-fi series.
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
Yep. And now they already committed that they're doing this. They're doing one more season after this, and that's going to be it, which I'm okay with. And I'm a little disappointed, but I'm okay with it, you know, because as long as they plan the ends out ahead of time, I'm usually pretty good.
It's not a surprise. Oh, no. Yeah, the story's broken ending.
Okay. Right, exactly. Yeah. But so now it's going to be into season 5. It's going to drop December 16th. And that is definitely one of my going to probably binge that sucker. So don't talk to me for like the 16th to like the 18th.
So they are going to drop all episodes at once, then, you're saying?
That's what they have been doing. They haven't said that they're not doing it so far. So I'm knock on wood, that's what's going to happen.
So you're expecting a binge. Okay.
I'm expecting a binge.
December 16th. All right.
Yep. So how about you, George? What do you got going?
Well, I mean, I've got a lot of stuff to be looking forward to, but I wanted to take this part of the segment because it was really unusual. We were contacted by HBO, of all places.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right.
Who reached out to us. Yeah. Yep. And they wanted us to talk about a documentary that they have coming out on December 12th. And the reason why they reached out to us is A, our YouTube channel is starting to grow. And John, I just wanted to take just a moment during the segment to say, from now on, we absolutely are going to have a Jelly Bean segment in every live stream that we do.
Every single one.
Every single one. That was awesome. If you guys don't know, go back and take a look at the Megamania.
Megamania
we were supposedly going to play, but it became the Jelly Bean Wheel of Death.
The game was incidental, really. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it actually was just a lot of fun. Just
that's what I'm looking
everybody.
Forward to the most is all these live streams now with Jelly Bean Death segments.
Yes,
those are awesome.
Absolutely.
But these people from HBO, they did reach out to us because we're doing well on YouTube and the podcast is growing and hitting new segments. And they said, hey, you guys are Gen X fans. You will probably enjoy this, and we'd love for you to share this with your audience. It's called How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? It's an HBO documentary about the Bee Gees.
Yeah. Wow. You know, has there not been one till now?
Well, there have been, but I think this one is specifically geared toward that album, the How Can You Mend a Broken Heart album.
Oh, that was huge. That was monster huge. Oh, my God.
It was. It was one of their biggest albums of all time. And I think that they reached out to us, like I said, because they wanted our audience to get a chance to watch this.
We're one of the target audience. I mean, one of the things that is probably underserved by our show is a focus on music. We touch on some highlights here and there, you know, when a new album comes out, or we focus on some one-hit wonders. But music was such a huge part of growing as a Gen Xer. And the Bee Gees were right there throughout it. I mean, from when we were born, they were already kind of coming up in the early 70s and stuff. And they were a force to be reckoned with. I mean, every album was huge from them.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the little descriptor that they sent over to us So I'm going to go ahead and read it just so everybody gets
Okay.
a better view of what this is going to be about rather than me just rambling on about it.
Right?
Yeah.
It says, the Bee Gees' How Can You Mend a Broken Heart chronicles the highs and lows of brothers Barry, Maurice, and Robin Gibb and the evolution of their prolific career as the Bee Gees. Through interviews and never-before-seen footage, discover how they navigated the ever-changing music industry and complex dynamics of family and fame.
Mm. Cool.
That is not jive talking right there. That is some serious stuff.
Okay, that's awful.
That was awful.
That's awful.
Well, I can tell you, as a Gen Xer that had three older brothers that were heavy into the disco.
Into disco, I know, right?
Bee Gees was something that was constantly playing.
Yep. So, yeah, this new documentary is, so HBO or HBO Max, and it's going to drop on December 12th, I think you said. Right. So,
yeah, December 12th, HBO, HBO Max. It seems like it's going to be an event for them. I mean, but I'm looking forward to watching it.
I'm in.
It's
gonna be
good. I'm definitely in.
John, what about you? You looking forward to anything that's just as cool as the Bee Gees?
Well, you always set me up like that, knowing that I don't have a good answer. So I'm looking forward to something that I've been looking forward to for far too long.
Okay.
The Atari VCS that I backed on Kickstarter.
Is it coming?
Now, listen, hold on. Nope. I don't know for a fact it's coming. Here's what I know.
It's coming. It's never getting here.
Stop jinxing me. Stop jinxing me. Here's what I do know.
Okay, wait. Before we, let's a little context here, John. When did you order this?
I don't know. 2017?
When was this supposed to show? How about that?
Are you sure it was in one of the teens? It wasn't earlier than that?
Pretty sure. Yeah. It's been delayed many, many times. Don't make me dig back through my receipts. It's been too long. I've already acknowledged that. This is Atari licensing this new console that's supposed to be the coolest shit on the face of the planet in the future. And more people dig into it. They're like, it's not a big deal. It's just it's like a pie box sitting in an Atari shape. Whatever it is, I'm excited about it because it's got a damn Atari logo on it. I pre-ordered ahead of time. I paid for the expensive one.
Yeah, how much did you pay for it?
Several $100, I guess. I don't know. They had a cheaper version. I'm just a sucker. I bought the premium one because I don't want somebody else to have the premium one and I don't. Come on.
This is true. This is true.
Anyway.
Nobody has the premium one right now.
Nobody. And I might not ever. Who knows? On Thanksgiving Day, I got an email from them with a shipping update saying they're actually starting to ship. You know, go and check your address and the, you know, whatever the Kickstarter back end is and make sure everything. Because you could have moved three times between your order.
In the Creality 3D printer area.
Yeah. So I'm actually hopeful that it could show up. Now, is it in the next 2 weeks? I don't know, but I'm hopeful because they said they're starting to ship. These things had to start hitting doorsteps. And, you know, the way the printer went, it could just pop in on my door without a tracking number. We know that can happen now. But I'm despite all of the negative buzz around what's happened, the delays, I'm still very interested in seeing what they do with this. So I'm looking forward to the possibility that my Atari VCS will arrive in the near future.
It's like potential enjoyment.
It's the first new news.
Supposed to be for stuff that arrives before the next podcast. I don't think this arrives before the next podcast year.
Yeah. We're going to be on episode like 104 or 120 something.
You know, I figured since you were looking forward to the Creality for weeks, we can do this.
That's true. This is true.
It's turnabout's fair play.
John, I hope for your sake that it comes sooner than
thank you, Mo. Thank you for your kindness. Now I've got to go eat some jelly beans.
All right. Wednesday on CBS, the Bengals, Sting, Run DMC, The Judds, John Cougar Mellencamp, Stevie Nicks, Michael McDonald, U2, and more in an all-new holiday special. Santa Claus is rocking the town with Top of the Pop.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year!
A very special Christmas Wednesday.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy, plus you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. Before we get out of this edition of the show, I want to take just a second, as I always do here toward the end, to express our sincere gratitude for all the folks that support us financially over on Patreon. Every month, a couple bucks out of their wallet goes to us to help keep the lights on here. And I want to thank each and every one of you. Dana, Tony, Shelby, Arlem, Greg Z, Mark, Mike C, Chet, Stu Monkey, T2, Stubaka, Thomas, Adam, Sean, Dan, Jonathan H, Matt, Greg L, Agile, Butter, Spider, Travis, Davis, Lee, David, Ben, Levi, Marcus, Dean, Jason, Blasseter, Stashit, Chad, and Slow-Mo.
Nice.
I've got to point out, Slow-Mo, without reason, without motivation, upped his contribution level just because in celebration of us reaching 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. He's just you know what? I want to support you a little bit more. And he did. So thank you, Slow-Mo. Unexpected, unprecedented. That is precedented.
Is there some precedent?
Unexpected. We're extremely grateful for everything that people, I mean, the belief they have, you have in us and the motivation.
That's awesome.
If you would like to join this roster of amazing human beings, George, would you let the fourth listener know how they can do that?
Absolutely. All you have to do is head over to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. If you don't already have an account, you click a couple of buttons, you get a totally free account. Then you go over to the totally not free section and decide to give us $1. That means we love you, you love us. $2, we love each other doubly as much. $3 gets you into all the behind the scenes content that we put out there. And $5 starts getting you into that swag level where you can start getting sent some cool things like puzzle cubes and, I don't know, posters, 3D prints. We're doing all kind of stuff all the time. It's a madhouse around here, Gen X Grown Up. But in all seriousness, we do absolutely look at those every single month, and we really, really appreciate those donations. We could fund this ourselves, and we have for quite a bit of time. But now that you guys are supporting us through Patreon, it really absolutely helps defer the cost of all the different tools and utilities and apps and software bundles and stuff that we have to buy to produce this. And jelly beans. Absolutely. Jelly beans are a new line item in our budget, so we need your donations, and we really appreciate it. It is a wonderful blessing to owe you guys content for how you guys support us.
It is. Yeah, very much so. And that's how I feel, too. Those are our bosses. Those are the backers. Those are the people that believe in us, and it motivates you to get up in the morning and get cooking on content. So.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for that. We will be back in 2 weeks with another episode, but next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. Mo, what are we doing next week for the fourth listeners?
Oh, man. I don't know about all Gen Xers, but I know for me, nothing made me lose my shit more than at Christmas time going to the toy store.
The toy store. It's the mecca. The mecca as a kid. To walk in
you
everything
open it
here.
And the light washes over you as you
it's
go into the store.
It's all for me.
Like I said, it's an experience that really you don't have today because of stores going out of business and whatnot. We want to talk about and just revisit that experience that we had growing up and going to these toy stores, you know?
Right you are. That's coming up next week. We hope you'll join us for that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you.
Oh, man, always fun.
Fourth listener, though, it's you we appreciate most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. It's kind of a combination of... Shit, I can't think of the name of that game.
Portal,
I know. What's the other one? The when you're running through the office and the guy's narrating your life.
Stanley Project.
Stanley Parable.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
got it. Okay. We got George's Godzilla out of the way, but George, I'm sorry.
We got George's Godzilla.
Yeah, sorry. I was looking at your name and said,
okay. Yeah.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.